Hey, good morning.
Afternoon.
Good morning.
Greetings, Faceless Matt. Greetings, Steve.
Hey, how are you doing, Eddie? Ed, I'm sorry.
Well, Eddie's fine. I answer to anything. Since I've got this, and when I'm in my robes, people keep calling me father, and I get, no!
We never get to talk. How are you?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm well, thanks.
It's been really rough until I now have my second shot and I'm 14 days out. And it actually feels like a weight has been lifted. Mm. I've been like hibernating.
Some relief, yeah. Yeah. I'm glad.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to say anything. I'm glad that you're feeling that.
Yeah, and I hope other people are too. I really do.
Yeah.
I was even thinking of going, I keep getting calls from Kaiser wanting me to give vaccinations to people. And, you know.
Yeah, meaning actually administer them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you may not. I'm a retired infectious disease nurse.
Oh, okay, very cool. Oh, so they want to recruit you.
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't know that about you, so thanks for sharing.
Oh, yeah, I was the HIV patient care coordinator and program coordinator at Kaiser San Francisco.
Oh, okay. So you must know Gabriel pretty well then.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was working there when Gabriel was hired. I was on the committee that hired him.
Oh, wow. He, you know, I don't get to deal with him. I mean, he's not, Kaiser is not a service provider in the HIV network, so they're not an organization that I necessarily work with. Although if somebody had an issue that I felt like I could support them on, I certainly would. But when I was first diagnosed, I had Kaiser, and Gabriel walked me through a lot. He was an incredibly supportive person and continues to be, I know, for a lot of people.
And I miss it.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, so go ahead, maybe volunteer.
Yeah. Part of me says wait because there's going to be another wave. And with so many people volunteering now, it's sort of, I'm thinking sort of like New York, they still need people, but people aren't going.
Oh, yeah.
Then maybe it's best not to burn out.
Yeah, be prepared to step in when other people can't.
That sort of. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Stan. How you doing, Ed?
Hey there. And it was good chatting with you. I'm going to take one moment before the meeting starts. Okay. See you all in just a bit.
Hey, Ed.
Hello.
How are you? Hey, Paul.
I'm fine.
Was did people have
Hey, Melina.
Hi, Thomas. How are you?
I'm all right. I am sitting here smelling my lovely lunch. This breakfast croissant. I'm tempted to eat it, but then I know as soon as I start, I will be full of croissant. So I will fight that urge and suffer silently. Obviously not silently.
It's hard. All right. When it's right there. You can smell
it. Say it again.
But it's hard when it's right there and it's just tempting you.
Imagine warm croissant smell too. That's what I'm.
Oh man.
Bread has been off the diet for a while, so I splurge every once in a while.
You have to.
Oh, it's worth the calories, carbs. All right, so it looks like we're getting a pretty good critical mass here.
I missed you guys.
You missed us, Paul? Is that what you said?
Yeah, you know, locked in COVID times. I've been missing my council buds.
Aww. Did you go somewhere?
Missing people here. Rockstar Thomas, what's up?
Oh, my hair?
Yeah.
I call it the Bill Hirsch.
Hey, Thomas, this is Bill. I'm assuming you know Kevin's not going to be able to join today, yes?
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
No worries. I will eagerly take his half a vote and exercise it.
Okay. And I, if you guys like, I can give the HHS presentation unless you prefer to read it either way.
So. I don't know. That'd be great. Thanks, Bill, for stepping up. That'd be great. Mark, when should I get started? Are we here? Are we at critical mass?
Give it another minute.
Another minute?
I think you're good to go. Do you want me to call roll?
Yeah, that'd be great. Perfect. Excellent. Go for it.
Chuck Adams. Orrin Allen. Bill Bloom.
Here.
Jack Bowman. Ben Kabangan.
Sorry, I'm here.
Was that Jack and Ben?
Just Jack.
Just Jack. Ben Kabangan. Cesar Cadabes.
Here.
Ed Chitty.
Here.
Ellie Cooper is excused. Cicely Emerson, excused. Elaine Flores.
Present.
Matt Geltmaker.
Here.
David Gonzalez.
Present.
Kevin Hutchcroft is excused. Thomas Noble.
Present.
Paul Harkin.
Yay. Here.
Ron Hernandez.
I'm here.
Bruce Ito.
Here.
Lee Jewell.
Present.
Juba Kalamka.
Present.
Lily Crutell.
Here.
Helen Lynn. Excused. Derek Mapp. Antoine Matthews.
Here.
TJ Lee Miyake. Jesse Murphy.
Here.
Dana Cemento. Irma Parada.
Here.
Ken Pierce.
Here.
Mike Shriver, leave of absence. Charles Cerrone. Excused. Gwen Smith. Excused. JP Soto. Excused. Richard Sullivan.
Here. JP's here.
Sorry, I JP's here. Thank you. JP.
Sullivan here.
Richard Sullivan here. Eric Sutter. Laura Thomas.
Here.
Let me do a quick go through of those I might have missed, who came late perhaps. Chuck Adams, Oren Allen, Ben Kabangan, Derek Mapp, TJ Lee Miyake, Nate Nascimento, Eric Sutter. All right, we do have quorum. I guess I can go and just call members of, council staff. Mark Molnar, council staff.
Ellie Cohn, council staff. Melina Clark, council staff.
David Jordan, council staff.
Valerie Acevedo, council staff.
And I'll go through and look at members of the public to introduce themselves.
Steven Spano, the HCAP staff attorney at ALRP.
Thank you, Steven.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who else there is.
See Lance and Bill Ming Ming.
I'm Bill Music from Integrity 3D, consultant to MOHCD.
Bill Hirsch with the AIDS Legal Referral Panel and the HIV AIDS Provider Network.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. It's Lance Toma, San Francisco Community Health Center and HIV AIDS Providers Network.
Hi, everyone. Manuel Vasquez, Mayor's Office of Housing and Community Development, HIV Housing Programs Manager.
Hi. Yep. I'm Megan Hines from Pacenti Consulting, and I'm here with the Ending the HIV Epidemics team.
Hi, I'm Ming Ming. Go ahead. this is Ming Ming Kwan from San Francisco Community Health Center. And I'll be presenting on the ETE stuff as well.
Tara Raufi with Janssen Infectious Diseases and Vaccines.
We have a few more. Miguel?
Hi, Miguel Ibarra, San Francisco Community Health Center.
Hannah?
Hi, Hannah Ewart, Community Health Equity and Promotion Branch of DPH.
Wanda?
Hello, everyone. Wanda Vasquez, Community Liaison from Janssen Infectious Disease and Vaccine.
Nikki? Nikki? Okay, I think that is Nikki from the State Office of AIDS. I think I might have gotten everyone. Is there any other members of public who have not announced themselves? Okay, all done, Thomas.
Great. It looks like Nikki's on two different devices there, so maybe that's causing not being able to speak. All right, well, welcome. So let's call the meeting to order and let's review and approve the draft agenda for today.
You'll see here we have a break for 5 minutes, a bio break at 5 o'clock. The last agenda item is actually three separate presentations. I apologize for not having the third presenter's name included with Craig and Ming Ming's. Sincere apology.
Thanks, Mark. Does anybody have any amendments to this agenda before we approve it by consensus? Check the chat quick. I think we are good to go. All right, so agenda is approved.
I'd like to add that Cicely Emerson has joined as well, so no longer excused. We'll share minutes.
Thank you.
We'll see here who is listed as present and absent, others present, DPH staff present, support staff present, pro forma announcements, public comment from Bill Hershen, general updates from CPG Care, HHS CHEP, State Office of AIDS update, Alexandria Andrews announced resignation, HIV Advocacy Network presentation, HCP representation to ETE vote, Richard and Nay was elected, break, small groups.
Great. Does anybody see any amendments to the minutes from last meeting? Seeing none, we will approve by consensus.
Also announced that Chuck has joined us and Derek as well, and perfect. Beth Neary.
Nice. The word I want. A lot of people present. There's words to say that in a more efficient way, but I don't know what they are. So thank you for everybody showing up and continuing. Any announcements? Oof. All right. Public comment. Members of the public, this would be your opportunity to say hello if you're not presenting later on. Generally, don't engage in back and forth dialogue with community members and council members during open meetings, but we always want to make sure we give a space for public to say hello for a minute or so. Any public comment? All right, seeing none, let's go ahead and move on to general updates. So Bill, would you mind stepping up first and doing the HHS update? Just because you offered. You're on mute, Bill. You're looking, I can tell.
Can you all hear me now?
Yep.
One sec.
You just muted yourself again, if that helps. You're still muted. Yay, there you are. You're back.
Okay, great. Sorry about that, guys. Good afternoon, everyone. I'll be delivering the report for Kevin. So in terms of COVID-19, one of our HIV health services staff remains activated part-time. That's John for COVID-related work, and I also spend a fair amount of time doing that. In terms of San Francisco, our total cases as of 3/19 were 34,478, total death of 451 as of the 19th as well. Average new cases daily is about 31. Average tests are around 5,174, and hospitalizations as of 3/20 are running at about 40. As of 3-8, 26% of the San Francisco residents above 16 years and 68% of those over 65 years of age have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. And as you all probably know, we are offering all three vaccines now, including the Johnson & Johnson, which is a single dose. The others are two doses. So overall, 319,000 doses have been administered to San Francisco residents and workers. To date, vaccine efforts have focused on healthcare workers, residents of long-term care, assisted living, or similar settings. Also a big focus on persons above 65 years of age, those working in food and agriculture, education, childcare, and emergency services, as well as folks in two zip codes with a high proportion of communities at higher risk for adverse outcomes, both for higher risk for getting HIV as well as, if you think, COVID, as well as having bad outcomes. So as of March 15th, California Department of Public Health authorized expansion of COVID-19 vaccine eligibility to all individuals from 16 to 64 who are deemed to be at higher risk from COVID-19 as a direct result of one or more qualifying conditions. The state gave the counties kind of some latitude to interpret this policy. And San Francisco did. There is a COVID command center, which is a multi-agency organization, and they reviewed. And you can kind of see those conditions there that have been added. So folks with a set of qualifying conditions are eligible for the vaccine. And that is to be vaccinated by the city, regardless of insurance status, if one either lives or works. I think important to note a couple things. One, it's self-attestation. You can see the health conditions there. HIV is included. They're not looking at disease stage to determine eligibility for this. If you also look down, there is a kind of a catch-all phrase, people that are identified as having disabilities, which could include folks that are just having significant amounts of anxieties, as well as kind of stuff we more typically think about, like severe mental health and or substance use issues are welcome as well. Other kind of areas in terms of, in addition to the qualifying medical conditions, are people that live and work in high-risk congregate facilities, including correctional facilities, homeless shelters, and folks that are experiencing homelessness. So moving on to general HIV updates, HHS is working to develop a pilot RN mobile blood draw project that would be for folks that are feeling unsafe to come out of their home. We do have a number of people that are not feeling comfortable, not to shelter in place, and don't want to go to public labs to get blood draws. So we are working with providers to run a pilot to see if we can support those by having a nurse that actually will go and visit people either in their home or where they currently reside. We are still anxiously awaiting our Ryan White Part A funding. Once we get that, we will share with you both that as well as our ETE funding. Hopefully we'll get that very soon. And we'll be checking in with our project officer to see if he has any updates tomorrow. HHS quality management training, two were held in the month of February, emotional exhaustion with HIV and burnout prevention. And then we're working on actually scheduling a trauma-informed care workshop for folks that have been on the front lines we're working on a trauma-informed care workshop for those that are gonna be funded with EHE. Funds, and we will, of course, include other people that are Part A and also receiving HIV health services. So that's my report, and if folks have questions, I'm happy to take them.
Great, thanks, Bill. Any questions?
There's one question from Paul there. Do you want me to answer that now in the chat there?
That'd be great. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah. So Paul and everyone else, if you are a person who wants to get vaccinated, it's self-attestation. So that means if you say that you suffer from an anxiety disorder or something else, you don't have to have documentation. It's self-attestation.
I don't think I've ever used those words before, Bill. So thank you for that.
Oh, sure. That's the fancy term they use. Basically, if you say you have it, no one's going to ask you for proof.
I love it. I am like...
So the term we use for ADAPT as well for the 6-month interval.
Say the word again. How do you pronounce it?
Self-attestation. You attest by yourself.
It's going to take me a minute. All right. Any other questions for... Thank you, Bill. That was great.
Sure.
All right. Seeing none. Other updates. So I'll go last. Lee, are you present?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah.
So I'll start with the fiscal 2022 appropriations. The appropriations process really won't begin until Congress receives the president's budget, and that hasn't been submitted yet. They're still working on that. But to that end, NASTAT, which is the National Association of, make sure I get this right, National Association of State AIDS Directors, they are, and the Friends of HRSA, coalition called on congressional appropriations to increase funding for the Health Resources and Services Administration, which is HRSA, programs in the fiscal year 2020-22 package. The Friends of HRSA Coalition, a nonpartisan coalition of national public health organizations that are invested in HRSA's mission to improve health and achieve health equity, are calling for congressional appropriators to allocate $9.2 billion in discretionary funding to the health agency. The coalition highlights HRSA's critical role in coordinating programs that foster health equity, especially for people living with HIV/AIDS, pregnant women, mothers and families, mothers and their families, and otherwise unable to access high quality health care. The Congressional HIV Caucus sent a letter to the Biden administration requesting a significant increase in funding for domestic HIV programs in the fiscal year 2022 budget, presidential budget request. The caucus calls for increased funding to the Ending the HIV Epidemic Initiative and discretionary domestic programs, including an additional $238 million for the HRSA-Ryan-White HIV-AIDS program, $67.1 million for the CDC Division of HIV-AIDS Prevention, and $178 million for the CDC Opioid-Related Infectious Diseases Program. Additionally, the caucus calls on Congress to remove funding restrictions for harm reduction programs like syringe service providers in order to address the skyrocketing HIV and viral hepatitis infections incidence among injection drug users. Let's see. The Senate has confirmed HHS Secretary nominee Javier Becerra as the next Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. Becerra, the former California Attorney General, known for his vigorous defense of the Affordable Care Act, ACA, under the Trump administration, will become the first Latino to head the agency. NASTAT joined a coalition of over 100 public health advocacy organizations and sent a letter to the Senate in support of Becerra's nomination. The House Republicans approved earmarks plan. On March 17th, the House Republicans approved a resolution in support of Democrats' plan to restore earmarks or the practice of appropriating funding for specific projects. Congress agreed to an earmark moratorium in 2011 after reports of wasteful, inappropriate spending prompted lawmakers to reconsider the fiscal practice. Senate Appropriations Committee Chair Patrick Leahy, the Democrat from Vermont, and ranking member Richard Shelby, the Republican from Alabama, are reportedly negotiating to restore earmarks in the upper chamber. There's already been a request sent out to through the CARE Coalition for advocacy on this. So if anybody needs additional information on this, I can get that from the CARE Coalition. I think that's all I have for the moment. Any questions? Lance, is there anything you want to talk about?
Are you talking about me, Lee?
Yeah, from a national perspective. Yeah.
No, I think you covered it all. I do think, that earmarks are now back on the table, I think is really important. We haven't had them in a long time, and our our person, our speaker leader, Nancy Pelosi, you know, is having a process now for considering earmarks. So I would just kind of put that out there. But it's a quick turnaround. I think the deadline is this Friday to get proposals into her. But that's just something, you know, I think just to know that it's a shift that, you know, I think we're also seeing a lot of positive shifts at the national level. You know, I think as soon as we can get, like Lee was saying, some of these folks in, especially our assistant secretary for health, Rachel Levine, I think, you know, we want to make sure we get in front of all these folks and make sure they hear about our communities and what we need, especially here in San Francisco.
Thanks, Lance.
Great. Any other questions for Lee?
Thanks, everyone.
Great. Okay. Paul, you're not on the here, but do you have a GTZ update by any chance? I know things are still defrosting in the world.
Yeah, sorry. I do not.
No worries. Do you have a note saying? No.
Self-attestation.
No worries. Let's see, who am I missing? Any CPG representation? I know Kevin's not here, but is there anybody else? No. Okay, I see Mark shaking his head. And then state, anybody from the state?
I think Nicole Gracie is here.
Hi, it's Nikki. Yes, I am. Can you guys hear me?
We can, go for it.
Yay, sorry about earlier. I was trying to introduce myself, but I must have been on mute. But anyway, my name's Nicole, I go by Nikki. I'm with the State Office of AIDS, the AIDS Drug Assistance Program, and I'll just be kind of giving you a synopsis of this month's OA Voice. And so we're going to start off with, we had a staff highlight that we have a new branch chief for the AIDS Drug Assistance Program. Her name is Cherise Kemp. She is also graciously continued to act as our interim prevention branch chief. She started on February 22nd. She's been with us for about 5 years, and she worked as an ADAP regional unit manager for her first 3 years. I don't know if you remember that her name at all, but she's also on the California Planning Group committee. So anyway, Cherise is a great addition to ADAP. We had Sandra Robinson, who retired. So we're looking forward to working with Cherise. Okay, let me go into the next one. So this month in March was March 10th, was National Women and Girls HIV AIDS Awareness Day. And that is a recognized annually to bring attention to the impact of HIV on women and girls and support those living with or at risk of HIV. And there's a lot more information located at the CDC website for that. And there's a link in the OA Voice this month. And then on March 20th was National Native HIV AIDS Awareness Day. And we observed that with to encourage American Indians, Alaska Natives, and Native Hawaiians across the US to promote HIV education, prevention, and testing, and urge those living with HIV to seek treatment and care. And there's also another link to the CDC Let's Stop HIV Together campaign. And that's on the CDC website. General office updates for COVID-19, you know, because we're in the forefront of public health, we've been disseminating a number of documents to keep everybody informed. And so we urge people to kind of check that website, and that's at the cdph.ca.gov website. And again, there's a link in this, in the March OA Voice. For our racial justice and health equity work group, we are taking steps to, you know, towards advancing justice and health equity in our work. And so we have some subcommittees that are trying to improve policy and practices. And our next meeting will be held Wednesday, March 24th. Our next item would be, we have on hold right now is because of COVID right now, we have many, many staff that have been redirected to lead the effort. And so because of this, we have to put on hold our integration of the HIV, STD, and viral hepatitis prevention branches. We were trying to get them all into one. Anyway, so that's on hold for now. The next item, I'm trying to do a synopsis because this is a very long OA voice this month, but for ending the epidemics update, so each month we're going to start highlighting the counties, the six counties that are in the ending the epidemic counties. And so this month we're highlighting Sacramento counties, and what we will do is in each, under each strategy, each part of the county's plans will be described. So I'm not going to go into detail on that, but I just want to kind of highlight that. So this month we're going to talk about Sacramento. So going on to strategy A, improving PrEP utilization. As of March 1st, we have 204 PrEP app enrollment sites that are, covers 150 clinics, making up the PrEP app provider network. And there's also a list that, of all the networks you can find on our CDPH website. Under strategy B, increase and improve HIV testing. We have an HIV home testing distribution demonstration project that's continuing through building healthy online communities. And this program, it's called Take Me Home, is offers, it's advertised on gay dating apps where they see an ad for home testing and they're offered a free HIV home test kit. So in the first few months that we had this, 978 tests were distributed and 136 tests just in January alone. And of those ordering in January, 40% reported never having received an HIV test. So we're really excited about those numbers. And we're getting a really good response to that demonstration project. Under strategy C, no, sorry, I'm going to skip that because that's going back to the Sacramento plan. Strategy C, D, E, and F are all about the Sacramento plan. But I will go over strategy F, which is we're pleased to announce that we have a new request for applications for strategic rapid antiretroviral therapy demonstration projects. And this will support the development of up to 4 2-year public health projects. Selected applicants will be awarded in a competitive award process to provide innovative evidence-based approaches to rapid linkage and retention and quality care for people living with HIV. The purpose of it is to develop stigma-free, culturally, linguistically competent, evidence-based, rapid ART demonstration projects. There's a couple other bullet points there that you can read. We're really excited to receive applications for this to improve health outcomes. And there is a link to the, we call it an RFA, request for application, on our CDPH website. I'm moving down to strategy J.
Do you have much more?
Sorry. You know what? I'll just stop here because normally I just do the ADAP portion, but I was trying to do the whole thing. But usually I end with strategy J, which just goes over the number of clients that we have enrolled currently in our across our insurance program.
Awesome.
We have 8,953. Which is a slight decrease from the previous month. And that's it. And I'm sorry, I'm going on and on, but it was a long month.
They had a lot to say. I'm glad there's a lot going on at the state. I think the rest,
we're just
used to so much not happening because of COVID. So it's exciting that
I know
the updates.
Things are starting to get moving. Does anybody have any questions that it's something I can take back to, you know, anything. And not I won't necessarily be able to answer it, but I could at least, you know.
Yeah, Mark's basically offering if anybody does have questions, maybe they could shoot them to him and he could get them back to you.
Perfect.
To help us with the timing. And just to kind of note also,
sorry, that yes.
Paul and Lee kind of dropped in some stuff around GTZ in the chat. So if people want to check those out, that'd be great. And thank you, Nikki. I appreciate it. And being from Sacramento,
no,
I appreciate the shout out. So, all right.
Great.
And I'm going to bump the CHEP update at this particular point just to see if we squeeze some time out at the end where that might be a possibility. So that being said, let's go ahead and get to the Happen presentation with Bill and Lance. Sound good?
Yeah, thanks so much, Thomas. I'll share my screen if that's okay for our presentation.
please.
Okay.
And we'll take questions at the end.
Okay, that sounds good. And I'll start, and I know Bill and I will be, hold on 1 second. I have to move it around. Okay. Sorry about that. It was in a place on my screen that I couldn't get to. Okay. 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 Can folks see that?
We can.
Wonderful. Okay. So it's so good to be with you all. Thank you. It's that time of the year when we are have launched our budget advocacy efforts with the city, the mayor's office, the health department, and of course the Board of Supervisors, with of course Supervisor Mandelman being our main go-to and champion at the Board of Supervisors. So we wanted to share with you where, you know, kind of our final kind of package of asks that we have been starting to present to the Board of Supervisors. I know we have presented this to you in different forms, and then of course to your executive committee. And then of course, we've been working with the Getting to Zero steering committee as well, so that we are all in concert and aligned around all of these asks for our community with respect to our HIV and AIDS services and safety net. So with that, let me just share that just to remind you, you know, this shouldn't be new for you, but the HIV AIDS Providers Network happens, coalition of 20 to 35 CBOs, nonprofits, but also other clinics and consortiums and different advocacy organizations throughout the city that really are committed to making sure that our safety net system remains intact, and that we also coordinate and lead all the budget advocacy efforts for all of our HIV services. We see ourselves as a HIV contractors association. So any organization who's contracting with the Department of Public Health and or any other departments of the city, we represent those folks.